Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Thank you, Ms. Gilman. You could take that down, and then Ms. Gilman, if I could ask for one other video from channel one, the second one down. If I could ask you to fast forward that to about 5 minutes and 10 seconds. And ultimately, I'm gonna ask you to play it from 5 minutes and 10 seconds to 5 minutes and 50 seconds. And if you could press play now. Thank you, Mr. Now, generally speaking, what was just played up on the screen, Mr. Alva, do you recognize what that is?
Yeah, it looks like the exit of the waterfall, and we're kind of walking out.
So same group that was just walking to the front door, now walking out the front door and into the parking lot?
Yes, and I believe there was somebody else there. I don't know if it was somebody from the band or looks like a different person out front there.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Cummins, you can take that. Now, Mr. Albert, when you get to the parking lot, you get in the vehicle and you drive to your house, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and specifically, you're the one driving, is that correct?
Yes.
And who is in your car with you on the drive back to your house?
My wife, Nicole, and my daughter, Caitlin.
And about how far a drive is it from the waterfall to your house?
I would say five minutes.
And the weather, as far as when you walk out, get in the car, and then start driving, what, if anything, had changed about the weather from the time you came into the waterfall to the time you came out?
Yeah, so it had started snowing a little bit more heavily. You can kind of see that on that second video. So the ground was beginning to be, you know, coated, it looked like.
So coating on the ground, but could you, as you were driving, could you still sort of see the blacktop of the roadway?
I believe so, yes.
Now, you get to your house, and what, if anything, happens sort of as you're coming into your driveway?
It looks like that it looked like Brian had gotten there first, Brian Higgins, and he was backing out so I could pull my car in.
And as far as the vehicle that that Mr. Higgins was driving on that evening from the waterfall, was that the same vehicle that he had driven with you back from New York?
No.
And what kind of vehicle was the one that he was driving back from New York, and what kind of vehicle was the one he was driving that night?
So the one back from New York, he was driving a full-size pickup truck. I'm not sure what make or model, but it had a cab on the back, and I believe it's gray. And then that night later in the night at the waterfall, he had a Jeep Wrangler vehicle that I believe is white, but I'm not 100%.
So he had arrived at your house before you, is that correct?
Yes.
And you said it looked like he had done something to the driveway?
He may have skimmed, he had a plow on his truck, and I think he may have skimmed the plow, the driveway, and then pulled out, and then we pulled in.
And as far as vehicles at your house, around this time of January 22, between yourself, your wife, kids, how many vehicles did you have?
I believe three.
And what type of vehicles, and who was sort of the primary driver with regard to those?
So I had a Ford Explorer, Cadillac SUV. It's a smaller SUV that my wife Nicole drives, and the Ford Edge that I already spoke of, and I believe we had one more vehicle that one of my kids drove at that time. I'm just trying to remember. It might have been an Escape, maybe a Ford Escape. Someone could have had that at school, so I don't remember if it was there that night or not.
So all the vehicles were essentially like SUV type vehicles.
Yes, we didn't own any sedans or any cars.
Now, as far as when you pull into the driveway, the house at 34 Fairview had the two car garage.
Yes.
And is the garage something that you or other members of your family would utilize as far as parking the vehicles?
No. So, unfortunately, we didn't use the garage a lot because we kind of used it for storage, and we had a lot of stuff out there, so we very seldom used it.
And if you recall, as you're pulling into the driveway, did you pull into the left side, the right side, or?
I believe I pulled in on the left side of the driveway.
And you mentioned that Mr. Higgins had sort of scooped with the plow, like in the driveway, and then parked on the street. Do you recall where, in relation to your house or your driveway, he parked?
So no, I don't remember where Brian Higgins parked. I remember him pulling out so I could pull in, and then I didn't really see where he parked.
And you then go into your house, is that correct?
Yes.
And are all of you, and by all of you, I mean yourself, your wife, your daughter, and Mr. Higgins, all sort of coming in around the same time?
Basically, yes.
When you come into your house, do you recall how many doors in the front of the house are there?
So we have two front doors.
And one would be sort of by some steps, is that correct?
There's actually steps on both doors, but, you know, one of them is, I guess, considered the front door with a large set of steps.
And they would be sort of brick steps, is that right?
Yes.
And that leads into a foyer area of the house?
Yes.
And the other door, where does that lead?
So the other door opens up right into the, we call it the family room, but right into the family room den area.
And do you recall specifically which door you utilized on that evening to go into the house?
I believe I went in the door on the right, which goes into the den. Not really sure what other doors people used.
And when you came into the house, who, if anyone, was present beyond the people that you would come in with?
So my son Brian was home. He had two friends, I believe, Julie and Sarah.
And these were people that you had known as friends of your son from prior occasions?
I didn't know Sarah. I had met Julie once or twice.
And as you were walking in, who, if anyone else, beyond your son and his two friends, is it?
And my nephew, Colin.
That'd be Colin Albert, is that correct?
Yes, Chris and Julie's son, Colin.
And about how old was Colin around then?
I believe he was just about 18. 17, 18. He's in high school.
So you're still in high school at the time?
Yes.
And when you walk in, where was Colin in relation to your son and the two girls that he was with?
He was just kind of standing in the kitchen with Brian and the two girls. Brian and the two girls were at the kitchen table, and Colin was just kind of standing there.
And from the time that you arrived home, how long was Colin at your house?
No more than 5 minutes.
And where did he go?
He left. He just said he was getting picked up.
He said he was getting picked up, and a few minutes later he left your house?
Yes, I went and used the bathroom. I came out, and he was gone.
Now, at some point subsequent to that, who, if anyone else, arrived or showed up at your house?
After Colin left the house?
Yes.
Nobody else arrived at the house.
Your sister-in-law, Jennifer McCabe, Matthew McCabe, at some point, did they come by?
Yes, I thought you were referring to after they showed up.
So when my question is, do you know whether or not when Jennifer McCabe and Matthew McCabe arrived at your house, was Colin still there?
I don't know if he was still there or not. I believe he left before they came, but I'm not 100%.
So you come home and you go to use the restroom, is that correct?
Yes.
And when you go to use the restroom, Colin's there, correct?
Yes.
And the McCabe's are not?
They are not.
When you come back from the restroom, Colin's not there?
Yes, Colin was gone.
And the McCabe's are there?
No, I don't believe they had arrived yet.
Okay, so they arrived sometime after Colin had left?
Yes.
Okay. And over the course of that evening of the 28th into the early morning of the 29th, did anybody else come into your house, or did anybody else come into your house at any point?
No.
Now, in addition to yourself, your wife, and your son, did you have any pets at that time?
Yeah, yes, we did.
Okay. And what kind of pets did you have?
We had a dog.
And what kind of dog was that?
So it was a German Shepherd mix.
And what was the name of the dog?
Chloe.
And how long had you and your family had the dog?
We had Chloe for approximately, at that time, maybe 6 or 7 years.
Do you recall how you got the dog or where you got the dog from?
The dog was from a shelter in Dallas, Texas, actually.
So essentially a rescue dog, is that correct?
Yes, rescue dog.
And when you got home after you went to the bathroom, what, if anything, did you do with reference to the dog, the clothes?
At some point, I went upstairs to grab the dog and let her out back to use the bathroom.
And so when you would take the dog out, or when anybody would take the dog out to use the bathroom, how would that be accomplished? So what I'm asking is, would the dog be on a leash, or would it be let out in the yard, or?
No, so the backyard's fenced in, so I would open up the back door and she can go out, use the bathroom, and come back inside.
So the entirety of your backyard, that's a fenced in backyard, is that correct?
Yes.
And beyond that fence, as far as the abutting, what sort of abuts the back of your property?
So behind the back fence, there's a railroad track. I believe it's a commuter rail that's behind the fence.
And is there any sort of opening or way to open the back of that fence to get in sort of any wooded area between your house and the tracks?
Yes, there's a gate back there.
And the gate, as far as when you let the dog out in the back that night, did you stay with the dog while the dog was outside?
I stayed at the doorway, and the dog went to the bathroom and then ran right back in.
So about how long was the dog outside?
She was out back for maybe 2 or 3 minutes.
So went outside, went to the bathroom, came back in?
Yes.
And when the dog came back inside the house, where did the dog go?
So the dog kind of walked around in the kitchen for a few minutes, and then I took her upstairs.
And when you took her upstairs, where upstairs did you take her?
So the dog liked to sleep in our room, mine and my wife's room. So a lot of times she would go up there on her own. Sometimes I would walk her up, and I walked her up to our bedroom.
And at any point in time for the remainder of that evening or the early morning, did the dog go outside at all?
No.
And you mentioned that there are train tracks that run sort of close to your property. Is that correct?
Yes.
And is that just the commuter rail, or does the Acela go by, or anything else?
I believe there is, in addition to the commuter rail, there's other trains that use that track, yes.
And how often, sort of on a daily basis, do trains go by your house on Fairview Road?
So it depends, I guess, schedule-wise, if it's the middle of the week or if it's the weekend. But, you know, on any given day, they can go by 5 or 6 times, you know, morning, you know, more towards the rush hour times, morning, at night. And then sometimes at night and sometimes during the day. So really all day and night.
And when the trains go by, about how loud is that as far as from your house?
So it's loud, although having lived there for a period of time, I feel like at least I'm kind of immune to the sound. I don't really hear it as much anymore.
So something essentially based on how long you've lived there, you really don't even hear it anymore?
Not really, no.
Now, you let the dog out, you bring the dog back upstairs, and then where did you go from there?
So after I brought the dog up, I just came back down and hung out with everybody else.
And where within your house was everybody else sort of situated?
So everybody was in the kitchen, and then we have a connecting dining room, but it's opened. It's only, you know, a difference of 5 feet. And then we have the family room den that's adjacent to the kitchen. But they're all close proximity.
So the kitchen and the dining room are sort of the same room, is that correct?
Yes.
And as far as what, if anything, is between the kitchen and dining room and the living room that you were talking about?
So there's a wall, but there's a doorway. So there's really no barrier to go from the kitchen dining room into the family room.
So if somebody's standing in the family room and somebody's standing in the kitchen dining area, they can sort of see each other?
Yes.
Now, in the kitchen area where everybody was, or in the kitchen dining room area, do you recall sort of where people were and what they were doing around that time?
Yeah, I think people were just sitting around, you know, having drinks. Someone had a speaker, and they were listening to music and just talking and hanging out.
And as far as the sort of group and sort of the overall mood or demeanor of the group back at the house, how would you describe that?
Pleasant, fun. Everybody was having a good time. You know, we were wishing Brian a happy birthday, and everything was going great.
And at any point in time, while this was all going on, did you, other than your situation with the dog, was there any point in time where you were not with the group in the kitchen dining area?
No, I was there basically for the whole night, except I think at one point I may have shown Brian Higgins some photos that were in my son's room that were upstairs.
And what kind of photos are we talking about?
So my son Jack, who's one of the twins, was in the Marines or is in the Marines, and we had put some plaques and some stuff in his room upstairs, and Brian Higgins was prior military as am I, and I thought he would want to see the photos, so I had him look at them.
And that period of time that you were outside of sort of the kitchen dining room area looking at the photos with Mr. Higgins, about how long a period of time are we talking?
Very, very quickly, you know, 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes.
Now, at some point over the course of that morning, things started to sort of wind down at your home. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
And about what time was that people started to, things started to wind down, people started to leave?
I think Brian left at around 1:30. I believe he was the first to leave. And then others left after that.
When you say others left after that, after Mr. Higgins left your house, where did you go?
So after Brian left, I had gone upstairs and hung out and watched TV up in my bedroom.
You had a long day that day, is that fair to say?
Yes, I had the funeral in New York that morning. We had the long drive back, and we had been out, and now we're hanging out at my house, and it had been a long day, yes.
And so, at any point in time, after you went upstairs, after Mr. Higgins left, did you come back downstairs at all?
Yes, I think I popped back down at one point just to see kind of how long people were going to be there, and then went back up.
When you popped back down, how many people were still there?
I think Jen and Matt was still there, and the two, Brian's two friends were still there, and my daughter, Caitlin.
Now, as far as beyond Mr. Higgins when he left, was there any other occasion that you can recall where somebody from your house went outside and then came back?
Yes.
And who was that?
So while we were hanging out, I believe Julie Nagel's brother came to the house. I never saw him, but I could hear them saying that he was out front. And I think Julie Nagel had walked outside to talk to him.
And at some point after she walked outside, she came back inside, is that correct?
Yes.
And about how long a period of time, if you know, was she outside?
I didn't really pay attention to how long it was. I don't think it was that long.
And as far as the outside of your house, after you had let Chloe out and back in, what, if any, observations did you make outside of your house? Did you look out? Did you see anything outside of the house?
Just that we have a windows in the back of the kitchen area. You could just see that it was snowing.
Is that sort of like a bay window in the kitchen?
Yes, it's a large bay window in the kitchen.
And when you look out the bay window in the kitchen, what part of your property does that face?
So it's the backyard. You can see the backyard. The bulkhead is right under that bay window. And you know, you pretty much have a view of the whole backyard if it's in the daytime, but it was obviously a little dark.
So can you see the front of the house at any part of the front of the house when you're looking out the bay window?
No.
So at any point in time over the course of the evening, did you look out front to see anything out in front of your house?
No.
Now at any point in time over the course of the evening, did you hear anything from front of the house, the back of the house, anywhere around the house that drew your attention outside?
No.
Now, at any point in time during the evening, did you know or did you become aware of either John O'Keefe or the defendant, Karen Reed, coming over to your house?
No.
And at no point in time over the course of that evening or the early morning there, did John O'Keefe or Karen Reed physically come into your house?
John O'Keefe and Karen Reed never entered my house.
And so you go up to bed, and the group is still sort of downstairs, is that correct?
Yes.
And at some point, your wife, Nicole, who you share a bedroom with, does she come upstairs?
Yes.
And do you know about what time that was?
It was probably 2-ish. Not exactly sure, but around 2 or 2 o'clock.
And the doors to your house is... as far as the front doors and the back doors, is that, what is sort of the situation with regard to locking the doors before everybody goes to bed?
Can you rephrase that?
Sure. With, when you lived at 34 Fairview Road, there were a number of doors to the house, including two doors in the front, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And how was that, let me ask you this. Would it be unusual for the front doors of your house to remain unlocked overnight?
No.
Is that something that, that happened on occasion where people were supposed to lock the doors but didn't lock the doors?
Yes, from time to time, the doors, people would just forget to lock them or we just didn't lock them.
And so your wife comes up to your bedroom about 2 a.m. or so. As far as you knew, was everybody else had left the house at that point?
Yes.
And you're up for a period of time with your wife, is that correct?
Yes.
And over the course of that time, so sort of following 2 o'clock in the morning, do you recall any sort of phone call or phone conversation with Mr. Higgins or anybody else?
No.
And at some point you fall asleep, do you recall about when that was?
I don't, but it was obviously after two because that's when she came upstairs. We watched TV and kind of hung out together for a while and then went to sleep.
And the dog, Chloe, was she up in the room where you had brought her up before?
Yes.
She was there overnight, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, turning your attention to later on that morning or you know, beginning of that morning, daytime morning of January 29th, obviously at some point you wake up, correct?
Yes.
And what is it that wakes you up on that morning?
I was awoken that morning to my sister-in-law, Jen, had burst into my room.
And do you know about what time that was?
It was between, it was early in the morning, between 6 and 6:30, I would say.
And fair to say that's not a normal occurrence?
No.
And when she burst into your room, can you describe her demeanor or sort of how she appeared when she first came in?
She was very upset, almost hysterical.
And what, if anything, did she say when she came into the room?
She said something to the effect, John is dead.
Objection.
Next question, please, Steve. Bushley Foundation.
Did you know who she was referring to when she initially comes into your room?
I initially did not.
And at some point during the course of that conversation, does Ms. McCabe make reference to going downstairs?
Yes.
And prior to that, not the content of the conversation, but as far as the length of the conversation, about how long was that length of the conversation that occurred in your bedroom between yourself, Ms. McCabe, and your wife?
Probably a minute.
And the demeanor that you described as far as Ms. McCabe was concerned is almost hysterical. Was that continuous throughout that initial conversation?
Yes. She was very upset.
And if anyone did she indicate was downstairs, or why did you go downstairs?
She said that the police...
This I'm going to allow in with that foundation.
Go ahead.
She said that the police were downstairs.
And so you went downstairs to talk to the police?
Yes.
And when you go downstairs, what do you see when you get to sort of the bottom of the stairs?
I saw a Canton police officer downstairs.
So inside your house at that point?
Yes.
And the door to your house, was it still open or shut or something?
I don't remember.
And the Canton police officer that's inside your home, did you recognize him?
Yes.
And who did you recognize him?
Last name, Lank. So Officer Lank.
Was he someone that you were familiar with?
I knew who he was, yes.
Did you socialize or friends or anything like that?
I didn't socialize with him. I knew him to be a Canton police officer. I had met him, you know, multiple times, and I knew him to know my brother Chris.
And so knew him essentially, what I'm asking, knew him in a professional capacity, personal capacity, or a little bit of both?
I would say more of a professional capacity, and I knew of him, but did not hang out with him socially.
And initially, when you first see Officer Lang, is he by himself, or who, if any, other officers are with him?
I believe initially he was by himself.
And another officer joined yourself and Officer Lang at some point?
Yes, I believe another officer came into the house.
Do you know who that officer is?
I don't.
And as far as them coming into your house, they were welcome in your house? You didn't say get out or close the door or anything like that?
No, of course they were welcome in my house.
And where did you go with the officer sort of in your house? Where did you spoke with the officer, I'm presuming?
Yes, we spoke in the kitchen area.
And when you're speaking with the officer in the kitchen area, who is there?
So my wife, Nicole, her sister, Jen, and I believe Jen's husband, Matt, arrived almost the same time that I came downstairs, maybe a minute after.
And how long a period of time was this conversation that occurred in the kitchen?
I don't remember the exact time. I wouldn't want to guess. I don't remember. He was 10, 15, 20 minutes maybe initially.
And when you say initially, was there a subsequent conversation that occurred after that?
Yes. The Officer Lank returned to the house sometime after that.
And when he returned sometime after that, was he alone or was there another officer?
I believe that time he was with Lieutenant Gallagher, perhaps.
And were you familiar with Lieutenant Gallagher prior to that one?
I knew who Lieutenant Gallagher was on a professional level. I had not hung out with them on a social level.
And again, they were welcomed into your home and you spoke with them, is that correct?
Yes, the second time they were there, they were invited back to the house via a phone call.
And that second conversation within your house, where did that?
Same area, family room, kitchen area.
And if you know, about how long a period of conversation was that second come back to the house?
That may have been longer, maybe a half hour.
Now, going back to sort of that initial conversation, as far as, so it's yourself, it's Mr. and Mrs. McCabe, your wife, and then the police, is that correct?
Myself, my wife Nicole, my sister-in-law Jen, her husband Matt had arrived, and the police, yes.
And in between that first speaking with the police and the second time that the police came back to your house, who, if anyone, did you call or notify in regard to the situation that was going on in front of you?
I called Brian Higgins.
Why did you call Brian?
Because I think it was important for him to know what was going on and that what had happened.
And as far as you knew with reference to Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed, what, if any, relationship, friendship, anything were you aware of between Mr. Higgins and either Mr. O'Keefe or Ms. Reed?
I was not aware too much about a relationship with Brian and either person. Brian had mentioned maybe even that night that he was friendly and knew John. I knew of no relationship between Brian and the defendant.
And following your conversation with Mr. Higgins, who, if anyone else, came over your house?
So Brian Higgins eventually came over to my house. And my sister-in-law, Julie, also arrived at my house.
And do you know why your sister-in-law, Julie, came by your house that night?
Yes.
And why was that?
So she has a routine that when it's someone's birthday, she likes to come by and bring, like, coffee and donuts. So it was Brian's birthday that night. So my sister-in-law, Julie, was coming by to drop off some donuts and coffee, I think.
And where was Julie when you first saw her that morning?
She was out front in the driveway.
And what, if anything, did you ask her to do when you saw her out in the driveway?
I asked her to come inside.
And when she came inside, is that when you informed her of what had happened?
Yes. I don't know if it was necessarily me that informed her, but people that were there were explaining to her what happened. It was a very, very chaotic, unbelievably chaotic morning.
And as far as when that was described to your sister-in-law, Julie, how would you describe sort of her demeanor or her reaction to the news regarding Mr. Oates?
Shock. That's how I would describe everybody's reaction that morning, was utter shock. And she was upset and looked very, very in shock.
And so the second time that the Canton police officers come back to your home, who was there at that point?
I know I was there for sure. My wife, Nicole, Jen, her husband, Matt. Brian Higgins may have been there at that time. And I'm not sure about Julie. Julie at one point left the house, and I think she came back later in the morning. But so I'm not sure if she was there.
And at some point when your sister-in-law, Julie, came back to your house, who, if anyone, came to your house with her?
Her husband, my brother Chris, who's her husband.
Was this before or after the second time that the police had been at your house?
I believe they came back after the second time, but I'm not 100% sure. The first time that Julie came with the coffee, the police were not there.
Now, when you first sort of get up, you come downstairs and the police are, they're basically in your doorway, is that correct?
Yes.
Could you see outside as far as what was going on outside at that time?
Not from downstairs, but I had looked out the window after Jen had come up into my room and explained what had happened and before I went downstairs.
When you looked out your window from your bedroom, what did you see?
I could see at least one police vehicle. I could see that there was something going on out front, and that was about it, and I just went straight downstairs.
At that time that you looked out your window, did you see either an ambulance or a fire truck out there?
I don't remember if I saw an ambulance. There were emergency vehicles out there, but I can't remember exactly which types.
And at any point in time, at that time or subsequent throughout the course of the day, did you go out to that area of your yard where you saw the cruisers and the sort of lights?
No.
And why?
I didn't see that there was a reason to go out to that area. The police had already been in my house. They had already talked to us about what was going on. It was a snowstorm at that point. They were trying to conduct an investigation, and I didn't want to interfere with it or have anything to do with it.
Now, as far as what you're learning sort of when Jennifer McCabe first comes sort of burging in into your bedroom at 6 to 6:30 in the morning, at any point around there, were you made aware of where John O'Keefe was at that point?
Yes.
And what were you made aware of?
I was made aware that he was taken to the hospital.
So by the time that you're awoken by Mrs. McCabe, John O'Keefe is, to your knowledge, not outside?
To my knowledge, I believed he was on the way to the hospital.
Now, later on, in the course of that day, at some point, did you have occasion to speak with some troopers from the state police?
Yes.
And if you recall, who is it that you spoke with?
So I spoke with Trooper, last name Proctor, and then another trooper, and I don't know the last name, first name, Yuri.
Would it be Sergeant Buchanan?
It could be.
And had you met either of those troopers prior to that day?
I had never met Trooper Proctor. I had met Trooper, I forget, what is the last name?
You met Trooper
Urey? I had met him. I had met him once or twice before.
Was that in a professional capacity?
Yes.
And where did you speak with him on that day?
At my sister-in-law Jen's house.
And if you recall, about what time of day was it that that you spoke with him?
It was late morning, early afternoon, the day of the incident. So I don't know the exact time. Before noon, I think.
And why was it that later on that day that you were over your sister-in-law Jennifer and the kids?
When my sister-in-law Jen and her husband Matt were leaving my house, my sister-in-law was distraught. I wanted to be comforting to them and be there for them if they needed anything, and I drove to their house.
And this is, and speaking of your sister-in-law Jennifer, this is someone you've known since she was how old?
Six, 7 years old. She's like a little sister to me.
And at the point that you're going over to the house, did you know that there were going to be troopers from the state police over at the house?
Yes.
And fair to say they asked to talk to you, is that correct?
Yes.
And do you know who, if anyone else, they spoke to at your sister-in-law's house that day?
I believe they spoke with Jen, my sister-in-law Jen, and then her husband Matt, and then myself.
And so was that done sort of in a group setting, or was it separate or something?
Separate.
And so they spoke to you in one area of the house while Jennifer and Matthew McCabe were in another area of the house and vice versa for you?
Yes, I spoke with them at the dining room table, and they, Jen and Matt, were not present. I believe they may have been upstairs or somewhere else in the house.
And if you know, where were you when the troopers were talking to either Jennifer McCabe or Matthew?
So I was upstairs when they were being spoken to.
So I may have one moment, Joan?
Yes.
May I approach her?
Yes.
I'm going to show you a series of eight photographs. I'm going to ask you to review them and look up.
Sure.
Sir, what I've just presented you with been previously marked as exhibits 58 through 65, and generally speaking, do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs?
Yes.
And what do you recognize?
So the photos appear to be the front yard in front of my old house at 34 Fairview Road.
And from those photographs, they appear to be a fair and accurate portrayal of what your house and your yard looked like around that time, is that correct?
Yes.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, I would ask to publish those for the jury to discuss with the witness briefly.
Hey, you can put them up, Ms. Gilman.
Ms. Gilman, if you could start with Exhibit 58. Mr. Albert, sir, there should be on the desk in front of you a laser pointer. Actually, we already talked about
that. I have that, yes.
So what's up on the screen currently, do you recognize, is that what's depicted in Exhibit 58?
I gotta have them out of order here. Just give me one sec.
Okay.
So yes, this looks like the photo exhibit 58 that you handed me.
And this is a photograph of your house, sort of, if I'm standing on the street to the left side of the property, correct?
Yes.
And on this sort of left side of your property, let me ask you this first. As far as between the roadway of Fairview Road and your front lawn, is there anything there as far as a sidewalk or anything like that?
No, there's no sidewalk. So the grass area goes right to the curb, and then there's the street.
And the curb that's in between the grass and the roadway, is that like a straight curb, a straight edge curb, granite curbing, or like rounded curbing? How would you describe that?
I would just describe it as a regular curbing. It's not granite. The color is black, so it seems like a tar curbing.
And in this area of the left side of your property, what if anything of note is sort of in that area of the property?
So in that area of the property, first of all, that's basically the property line from the neighbor's house. If you're staring at my house from the front, the neighbor to the left, that's the property line area. But there's a fire hydrant there. There is a flagpole with the American flag and the Marine Corps flag. And there is a, we call it like an electrical box, but I'm not sure what the purpose of it is.
And so for all the years that you've lived there, either as a child or as an adult, you really don't know what that electrical box does or what it is?
Yes, I don't know if it's operable. Sometimes the door is open. If it's windy, the door of the box blows open, and sometimes it's closed, and you know, we don't really have much to do with it.
And the general area where, when you looked out the window in your bedroom on the morning of the 29th, as far as where you saw the police vehicles or the cruisers to be, do you see that in this photograph?
Yes, that's the same general area.
So the same general area as you were describing with the fire hydrant, the flagpole, things like that?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have the next exhibit 59. And again, sir, what's up on the screen? Is that what you have before you?
What was it, 59? Yes.
And from this photograph, sir, this is again a picture of your residence around the time of January 29th, correct?
Yes.
Fair to say this is taken after some of the snow has sort of melted from the storm before?
Yes, it appears that there's less snow in the front there.
So less snow than what you saw when you looked out your window or at some later point on the 29th?
Yes.
And from this photograph, if you could just direct the jury's attention to the driveway and the garages and sort of where is that located?
So my driveway is, or was, this area right here, and that's the garage doors.
And from within this photograph as well, you mentioned that there were sort of two doors to the front of your house, one that leads into a foyer area and the other that leads into a living room of some kind. If you could direct the jury's attention to where each of those doors would be on the house.
Sure. So the door right here, we consider it the front door, and that goes into a foyer area. And then, not from this photo, you can't really see it, but there's a door in this, I guess, breezeway area, and that opens up into the family room.
And one last thing from this photograph, sir, if the window that you were looking out, do you see that window in this photograph as well, and can you draw the jury's attention to?
Yes, I believe it would be this one right here, in the corner.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Gilman, if I could have the next exhibit number 60.
You say 60?
60. And sir, what's up on the screen? Do you recognize that as what you have before you as exhibit 60?
Yes.
And from this photograph, as far as the roadway and the sort of width of the road from the curb to the double yellow line there, is that generally what it was on January 29th, as that's what the roadway looked like?
The morning of the 29th?
Well, the morning of the 29th, it was snowing, correct?
Right. So the roadway, I believe, would have had some snow on it.
So what I'm asking is, when you came home that evening, or the early morning on the 29th, is that essentially what the roadway looked like, absent whatever the snow was covering?
Yes.
The next photograph, Ms. Gilman? And again, now looking at what is Exhibit 61, is that correct, sir?
One second. Yes.
This is essentially a closer-up image of the area of the fire hydrant and electrical box and the flagpole that you were talking about before?
Yes.
And, Ms. Gilman, if I could have the next photograph? And again, what's up on the screen, this would be, and I'm sorry, I've lost my train of thought. Is this 62?
62. It appears to be, yes, 62.
So you were mentioning earlier in your testimony that the area where you saw the police cruisers when you looked out your window on the morning of the 29th was near sort of where your property abuts the neighboring property, correct?
Yes.
And do you happen to know what number that next door neighbor's house is? Up or down from 34?
I honestly don't. I don't know what number that is.
And do you see sort of the property line in between your house and the next door neighbor's house?
Yes, I believe that row of trees is the property line.
So the row of evergreen trees there is sort of where it delineates between your property and the next door neighbor?
Yes, they appear to be in line from almost the street to the white fence.
And that white fence sort of in the back right of that photograph, is that the fence that you were talking about before that encloses your backyard?
Yes.
And the next photograph, Ms. Gilman, number 63. Again, this is just another photograph of sort of that area of your yard, is that correct?
One second. Sorry. Yes.
Now, with reference to this area of the yard at your house when you were living there at 34 Fairview Road, is that an area of the yard that would be of particular use, or did you go in that area of the yard all that much?
No, we didn't really use that area too often. There's a large wood chip bed. You can't see it because of the snow, but it kind of covers that area. So we don't really go over there that often.
And now, sir, with reference to this area of the yard, was there any sort of overhead, like ambient lighting, street lights, anything like that in that area?
No, so that's a very dark part of the yard. There's no street light there at all.
And the next photograph, Ms. Gilman. Mr. Albert, I believe this would be number 64, is that correct?
Yes.
And with reference to this, can you describe to the jury what are we looking at in this particular photograph, Exhibit 64?
So that's the front right door, I guess you could say, to the house. And again, you can't see the door, but it's inside that breezeway area to the left.
And if you could, just using the laser pointer and directing
attention
to what you're talking about.
So the door would be right in here.
From the driveway leading up to that front door area you were talking about with the foyer once you get in, what, if anything, is sort of leading you up to the steps there?
To the other door?
To the other door, the front.
There's a brick walkway.
So brick walkway leading up the brick steps into the foyer area of your house?
Yes.
And the last in this set, Ms. Gilman, Mr. Albert, this would be number 65. You recognize what's depicted in this photograph, sir?
Yes.
And what do you recognize it to be?
So that's the picture of the ground in front of the fire hydrant, which is to the left front of my yacht.
You can take that down. Thank you very much. Now, Mr. Albert, with the days that sort of followed from January 29th, as far as your home was concerned. Was what, if any, sort of police presence did you observe or notice sort of in that area in the front yard of your home?
So over the course of the next couple of days, there were emergency vehicles and police personnel that day and days following in front of the house.
So later on in the afternoon of the 29th and continuing on for days after, is that correct?
Yes.
And what, if anything, did you observe as far as the weather was concerned between the date of the 29th and the days that the police presence was outside of your house?
I believe it rained a few times during that time.
And as far as the snow that had been piled up on your front lawn, what, if anything, was occurring with the snow as the days went on following the 29th?
I believe, so some of the snow was shoveled out, I believe, during the crime scene, and then some of the snow was just dissipating due to the fact that it was melting and it had rained a bunch of days.
Now, sir, if I could turn your attention to your house, and obviously at some point you moved from the house on Fairview and Canton to Norwood, correct?
Yes.
And when was that sort of first discussed between you and your wife as far as selling the house?
That was discussed in October, November of, it would have been 2021.
And what was it that sort of precipitated that discussion as far as selling your house?
Around that time, and it was post-COVID, the housing market seemed really good. And my brother, Chris, had sold his house. Was in the process and ultimately sold his house around that time. He got a great deal on it. I had known some other people that had sold around that time. And it was a little early for us because our children weren't all necessarily gone yet, but it was close and we thought we could get a good deal for the house. So that's when we started exploring it.
And who, if anyone, did your brother Christopher put you in touch with?
So he put me in touch with a realtor that ultimately sold his house.
And at some point you sold the house?
I did.
And when was that?
So we didn't end up selling until April of 2023.
And as far as prior to selling a house, what, if any, I'll start there. Did the sale of your house have anything to do with what occurred there on January 29th, 2022?
Absolutely not.
Just one moment here.
Yes.
I have nothing further for this witness, Your Honor.
All right. Can I see Counselor Tybaugh for just a second, please? Great. You can step down.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So, Joe, rather than start cross-examination of Mr. Albert, we're going to let you break for the day. And I did want to give you some scheduling updates because there have been questions from you folks and requests. So next week will be a full week. We're here every day next week. Again, Monday, Wednesday, Friday will be full days. I'd like us to pick up the pace a little bit here. No repetitive testimony so that we can move things along, but we are moving things along. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday will be full days. Tuesdays and Thursday next week will be half days. The week I wanted to address with you, where we were already going to be off the 29th and 31st of that week. There's been a request and it makes sense. We will now take the 29th, 30th, and 31st off, rather than have you folks come in. So you'll get 3 full days, sort of maybe in the middle of this trial, to be able to just kind of regroup and I figured everybody would welcome those days, but I am going to ask you to give us a full day on the 28th. So think about that this weekend. So the Tuesday will be a full day, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you'll be down. Okay? June 7th, we're off. We will end June 6th at noon instead of 1 o'clock. Okay? All right. So I do have to give you those three cautions. Please do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into this case. If you happen to see, hear, and read anything about this case, please disregard it. I always like to tell jurors, just leave everything here. Your notebooks, literally, figuratively, just leave it here. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday morning.
Rise for the jury.
Here we go. Thank you.
In session, any other evidentiary issues I should be prepared to spend some time on this weekend?
Not for the Commonwealth, no.
No, we can wait on that.
I heard you say we can wait on that, but I'd like to know, is there anything that I should be taking a look at?
Right, no, I wasn't. I was talking about something different. I think with regard to Brian Albert, there's really nothing other than I wanted to talk to my co-counsel over the weekend to get the court to potentially revisit the ruling that you just made, which, whether you do or you don't, Your Honor, I think you've heard. We can hear more potentially. But with regard to Caitlin Albert, Your Honor, there is the issue of the photos between her and Katie McLaughlin. I just wanted to flag that for the court. I think we've addressed that already, and I think the court had said we'd take them on a photo-by-photo basis.
No, what I said is you need to approach. So before she testifies, let me know where we stand.
Will do.
Okay? Or before your cross-examination.
Will do.
All right. Do we expect to hear from her next week?
Yes.
Okay.
I think probably Monday.
Probably Monday.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Thank you.
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock US-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com, featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock US-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com, featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock US-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com, featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anna-Bay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anna-Bay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anna-Bay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anna-Bay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anna-Bay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.